Welcome to the IC Maidan podcast. We are so glad that you've chosen to listen online. If you would like to know more about who we are, why we exist, our service times and location, or how you can get involved, then check out our website at icmaidan.com. We hope you enjoy the message today.
All right, good evening. Happy Easter. Man, welcome to IC Maidan's 5 p.m. service. I'm so happy to see all of you guys. So happy to celebrate together on this special day. Man, was worship already a highlight? Yeah. Man, honestly, after the worship and Pastor Adam's prayer, I felt like, man, I'm saved all over again. I can just dismiss and we can go, right? But I prepared some things, so I want to share those with you. Man, I was thinking about one of the songs and what we were singing, and sometimes I know in music, the lyrics can be pretty. It can be sort of poetic. And if you're like me, sometimes you sing words that you have no idea what you're singing. Anyone like that with, even in English, you know? I mean, of course, if I'm in the Bahasa service, I'm singing a lot of words I don't know. But even in English, sometimes it's so poetic. And one of the lines in one of the songs where it was saying, I count the joy come every battle because I know that's where you'll be. And it's a powerful phrase, and I think sometimes some of you guys sound so good you could sing any words. It doesn't matter what it is. But I think this phrase is so important, and the way it's worded, even in the English, it's a little bit weird. But what it's saying is that even in the battles of this life, we count it as joy because we know when we face a battle, Jesus is right there with us. That's what we're singing when we're saying, hey, I consider it joy when I face some struggle or some problem in this world because Jesus, that's where I know, that's where you'll be, right beside me. There's a Savior that fights for you. Did you know that Jesus fights for you? He's always fought for you. He's always fought. Even in Easter, when we look at Good Friday, Sunday, we look at everything that Jesus did. He was fighting for us. He went to the cross. He went into battle for every single one of you in this room. Can you turn to someone near you and say, there's someone fighting for me? And I don't mean like love triangles. We're still talking about Jesus. You guys know where I'm going there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross, it is the power of God. What happened at the cross, it wasn't just some event. It wasn't just something in history. It wasn't just an excuse for us to have another Tangamera. We have plenty of those, right? This was something where something powerful happened. The message of the cross is the power of God. If someone asks you, hey, what is the power of God? It's the message of the cross. It's what Jesus accomplished on the cross. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the sacrifice of Jesus. There's power in what he did on the cross. Revelations chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. John is having this revelation, and he says, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last. What is it that it says has come at last? Salvation. Is it just salvation? I mean, that's good enough for most of us. Honestly, for a lot of Christians, that's good enough. Salvation, done. Got my ticket to heaven. See ya. But this is more than that. It says it has come at last. What? Salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. That means that the power of God, what Jesus accomplished on the cross for you and for me, is much more than just salvation. When we just receive salvation and we realize, man, I'll get to heaven one day, I'm good, we've missed something. That's why so many Christians, they're saved and they're going to go to heaven, but their life on earth is miserable. How many of you know some Christians that live miserably? How many of you are Christian? No, I'm just kidding. But you know where, like, I know Christians, they're saved, they know God, They're going to be in heaven one day, but they worry about everything. Always worried. Anytime you talk to them, it's the new worry, the new thing they're worried about, the new fear. Maybe, oh, this is what I'm afraid of this week, and last week they were afraid of something else. You know Christians like that. It doesn't mean they're not going to get to heaven, but man, the time here is miserable. Where's the power? Where's the authority? That's someone that's received, and sadly, so many Christians receive the salvation, and we don't receive the power. And we're worried, and we're stressed, and we're afraid, and we can't overcome sin. And if you're a Christian and you just keep struggling with the same sin, the same sin, the same sin, you may be in heaven one day, but what about the power over that sin that you can be set free so you can live your purpose, so that you can be who you were created to be? That's what I want to tell you this morning, that there is so much more offered to you than only salvation, as awesome as salvation is. There's more. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, this is an amazing verse because Isaiah basically describes what Jesus went through on the cross, and he wrote it 800 years before it happened. 800 years before Jesus was crucified, Isaiah wrote, "He was pierced for our transgressions." Pierced for our sins. Transgressions is just another word. I wrote some other words up there. Transgressions means sins and wrongs and disobedience. He was crushed for our iniquities, for our immorality, our wickedness, the evil we have done. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Pastor Chris Hodges at Church of the Highlands is a pastor that I love to listen to. I love reading his books. I consider him a mentor of mine, even though he has no idea who I am. Any of you guys have mentors like that? I mean, I said earlier, if you want to know anything John Maxwell has ever said, ask Pastor Adam. It's all in here. Man, if you need some leadership training, Pastor Adam could stand here and teach you everything, the 21 laws of this and the 16 laws of that and the 7. He knows it all. I would consider for Adam, whether he's thought it or not, John Maxwell's one of your mentors. I don't know if you know him personally. Coffee with him. So I consider Pastor Chris Hodges one of my mentors, and I love listening to him and reading his books. And something he said recently, I wanted to share today. He made four observations about the cross, four things that happened on the cross that were powerful. So I want to share those, and then I have 2 points that were on my heart about Resurrection Sunday that I want to add to the end of this. But I think all of it together will paint a good picture from Friday to Easter and everything that happened there. He talked about four things in relation to the cross. The first one is the whip that brings freedom in my body. What Isaiah said was, by his wounds we are healed. One verse says, by his stripes we are healed. But I don't think that really paints the picture right. Many of us, if you have grandparents that used to spank you with a twitch or whatever you'd call it, a little branch off of a tree, you've had stripes on your legs before. Anyone else have grandparents like that or parents? Man, my mom, the worst thing for me and my brother is we wore little shorts when we were kids. So when we got in trouble, my grandparents would go, and it was never a big branch. It was just a little branch. I was like, oh, no big deal, you know, if it's never happened. But those little ones, you can hear them coming through the air. Swap, wah, and when you've got little shorts on, swap, swap. I had stripes on the back of my thighs a lot. I would go around the house and find those things and break them up and throw them away. I don't know what I was thinking, because there's like a million of them outside. They'd just get another one, and then I'd get more stripes for that one. That's why I like the translation that says by his wounds better, because Jesus didn't just have stripes like many of us may have had. It was wounds. He was whipped. They would have a post there where they would bring the person that was condemned and chain them to the post like this, so their back and their shoulders are exposed. And the whip was this wooden handle that would have leather straps coming off of it. One of the whips they used was called a cat of nine tails. So it had nine little straps. And then with horsehair, they would tie on the ends of every strap little pieces of bone or metal or glass or wire, something that when it hit the flesh, it would stick to the flesh and they could rip you open. And they would take the whip and soak it in water to make the leather heavy so it really hit harder. Some of the whips that the Romans used had this hook on the end of it called a scorpion, sort of like a scorpion's tail, so that when they would whip you, it would really catch in. And this is what Jesus is going through for us. This is the battle he's fighting for us because he wants to set us free from our sin. He wants us to have freedom in our bodies. So he said, hey, I'll go and fight this fight. I'll take the victory and I will win this freedom for them. So this was Jesus in battle. And they have this whip, and we don't know the number of times he was whipped. Some people say 39 times, just because under Jewish law, the max number of times you could be whipped was 40 minus one. But these were Romans whipping him, so they didn't have to follow Jewish law. So who knows how many times he was beaten, but if it was at least the 39 allowed, could you imagine 13 times down one shoulder, hooking into his flesh and pulling down? And again, 13 times down one side, and then down another side, then down the spine, till the flesh is opened up. The shoulder muscles are severed. I mean, imagine just the blood loss and the pain and the suffering. And Jesus did that for us. He experienced all of that for us so that according to Isaiah and according to Scripture that we could have freedom in our body. By his wounds we are healed. And I think that's even more than just healed from sickness or disease. We can be healed. God heals. He still heals. I've seen people be healed. It's available to us. But I think it's so much more. You can be healed from addictions. Because this was about setting us free. You could be healed from an addiction to drugs, an addiction to alcohol, some kind of sexual addiction, an addiction to online pornography, whatever it is. This was giving us freedom in our bodies, meaning your body doesn't have to be slave to anything ever again. Jesus fought to set you free. You don't have to be a slave. You know, those sins that you get involved in that looks like, oh, this is harmless, but once you're in, you can't get back out. Some of you know what I'm talking about, and you're a slave. You're like, I don't want to do these things anymore, but I can't get free from it. Jesus took those wounds so that you could have that freedom. He won it for you. We can have freedom in our body. The second thing is the thorns. Freedom in my mind. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. After they whipped him, they pulled him to the side, some of the soldiers, and they took a branch of thorns and folded it around into a crown and pushed it onto his head. Pushed it so that the thorns were piercing the flesh, and again, here he is bleeding in a different place down his face. And they were blindfolding him and spitting on him and taking turns hitting him in the head with a stick and saying, you're a prophet, tell us which one hit you. Just mocking him and ridiculing him. And every time they hit him in the head, that crown of thorns pierced further into his head. And more blood came out. He suffered in his head so that you and I don't have to suffer in our heads. The punishment that brings us peace was on him. Where do you lack peace? It's normally in our minds, isn't it? How many of you could use more peace in your life? Jesus suffered through this to bring us freedom in our minds so that we don't have to have our minds full of fear or worry or stress or anxiety or depression or those nights where you have those thoughts of all these concerns and you can't even sleep at night anymore because your mind is full of all this, everything except for peace, Jesus took the punishment that brings us peace on him. He suffered so that you don't have to. Do you know as a Christian, you're not supposed to be afraid of anything? Do you know as a Christian, you don't have to worry about anything? That sounds too easy. Probably many of you would say, PC, I got a lot of things to worry about. Not according to Jesus. Not according to the Bible. The Bible says, hey, you don't need to be worried about anything. Jesus took care of it. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be stressed. We aren't meant to live like that. Because Jesus fought that fight not only to give us salvation, but salvation and power and authority and peace. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Jesus gave us his peace. Was almost like this transaction with us. Hey, I'm going to take the punishment on me that will bring you peace. Here's my peace. And he says, I don't give like the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Man, if I stand up here and just tell you, don't be troubled, that's one thing. But what about when it's Jesus telling you, do not be troubled? Can you believe that? Can you accept that and decide, okay, from here on out, I'm just going to trust Jesus. I'm not going to be troubled. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be bothered. Wouldn't that be great when anything that faces you, whatever struggle or problem, you just say, I can't be bothered. That's a free feeling. Jesus provided that for us. Let your hearts not be troubled. He was saying, troubles will come, but you don't have to be troubled by it. You're going to face battles, but Jesus has already won the battle. You don't have to be bothered by anything. And he says, do not be afraid. So let me say it again. If you're in this room and you're a Christian, you don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Anything going on in the world, we don't have to be afraid of that. Economies and elections and terrorism and natural disasters and whatever you can imagine, the things that bring fear into everyone in the world, wars and rumors of wars and all of these things. And Jesus tells us, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do you believe in me? Do you trust me? Do you believe in what I did on the cross? It's all you want is salvation, or do you want my power also? Do not be afraid. The third thing is the nails. Freedom in my hands. He was pierced for our transgressions, or pierced for our sins. The one that was going to be executed by crucifixion would have to carry the top wooden beam of the cross up to the place of execution. The other post would already be in the ground, and the one being executed had to carry his own cross, the thing he would be crucified on, carry it to the place of execution. And Jesus, we read in scripture, he's trying to carry it and he collapses until a man named Simon has to come and help him carry the cross. I was reading a medical article that was talking about what would have been going on in Jesus's body at this time and what would have caused him to collapse. And it was talking about just physically, with all of the blood loss and all of the suffering and the pain that he had to that point, that his body would have gone into shock. So when he collapsed and couldn't carry the cross, it was because physically he was suffering. He was in shock. So Simon helps him carry the cross up to the hill. And then they put him on the post and they nail him into each side. If you've heard the story, you remember they nail right about here, because if they nailed there, that would rip out with the weight of your body. So it was under here, through the tendon and the muscle and the nerves, nailed on each side. The nail was about 7 to 9 inches long. Then with feet put together and a nail through the feet into the cross. I just watched a documentary recently about this time period in Jerusalem and all that was happening with the Passover and all of these things. And in the documentary, they went to a museum. In the museum, they had a box that had Caiaphas's bones. You know, the guy that was the head of the Sanhedrin that Jesus went to trial before. They actually had that there. And then they had this big stone with Pontius Pilate's name carved in it. It was all this history from this very time around 30 AD. And seeing these things put together, Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate. And then right there in the museum, they had the bone of a foot, the heel, with a nail still pierced through it from a criminal that had been crucified way back in those times. And they still had it preserved, this remnant from this horrible execution of crucifixion. They didn't have Jesus' bones because his bones aren't here. Amen? Because he's alive. But this criminal's bones were there, just a reminder of how cruel this was, a reminder that this is real. It's not just some story we tell. It's something that happened. And when Jesus was nailed there on the cross, remember the muscles on his shoulders are severed from the whipping. So when they put him on there and drop his weight down, there's no muscle to hold himself up. And his shoulders are dislocated and his elbows are dislocated. And he's just hanging like this. And anytime he needed to take a breath, he had to pull up on the nail in his arm, pull up and drop back down. Because the way you died in crucifixion wasn't from blood loss. It wasn't from the pain or the suffering. It was from suffocation. That's why men would stay there on the cross for days and days. It was a long, agonizing, torturous execution. It wasn't just over quickly. You were there for days, hanging there. Every breath agonizing and suffering. And there's Jesus on the cross, pierced for our sins. The reason that brings freedom in my hands and freedom in my feet and for you as well is because his piercings represent that he died for everything you've done and everywhere you've gone. Every one of us in this room, there's things we've done that we're ashamed of. We don't have to stand up and list those things. We know it. You know in your heart. There's things we've all done that we're not proud of. Things we've done that makes us guilty in God's eyes because we fell short of the mark that he set. Our feet have taken, all of us have been places we shouldn't have gone. And Jesus was pierced so that guilt could be removed, so the shame could be removed, so that you and I could be forgiven for anything we've ever done, that we could be forgiven for all of those places we've gone that we shouldn't have been there. Jesus did this. He was fighting for you then. He was fighting, even then, fighting for the things you've done, fighting to free you from your sins, fighting to free me from my sins. And it's even better. It's not just so we could be forgiven. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 says, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Man, forgiveness is pretty cool. Forgiveness is pretty amazing. How many of you have ever been forgiven of something from someone? You know, maybe even your parents. But often what our experience is that we ask someone forgiveness, they forgive us, but then when we're around them, we still sort of feel bad because we know they still remember what we did. Any of you ever really mess up and you have to apologize to your dad, but still then for a while, every time you're around your dad, you still feel guilty because you feel like he's looking at you through that thing that you did. But God says to us, not only am I going to forgive you, I'm going to forget it. I'm not thinking about it ever again. You have freedom. You don't have to have guilt. You don't have to have shame. Jesus is saying, why are you still thinking about it? I'm not. Some of you in here have done some things that you wish you could go back and undo. It could have been last week. It could have been yesterday. But Jesus is saying, hey, if you come to me, I'll forgive you and I'll forget it right now. You don't have to carry it around in your mind. Remember, I want you to have peace in your mind. I'm going to forgive it, and I'm going to forget it. You can't go back and undo it. Jesus is saying, I fought for you. Let me take care of it. Quit trying to carry it around. Quit trying to work it out in your mind. Just let Jesus handle it. The fourth thing, the spear, freedom in my heart. And can I ask someone from the worship team to come up? Isaiah said he was crushed for our iniquities. Jesus had stopped moving. He's on the cross. He had stopped moving. He's just hanging there. People were a little bit surprised because the suffocation normally took longer than this. Often it took so long that the soldiers would have to come up and put something behind the knees of the criminal and break their knees so they would just drop on down till they couldn't pull up just to get it over with. Just to end it. Suffocation would come faster. Maybe the soldiers just got tired of watching it. But they never had to break Jesus' legs. Because when they looked up, he had given up his spirit and he had stopped moving. They wanted to make sure he was dead, so we read that a soldier took a spear and stuck it in his side. He would have had to stick it right up under the rib cage. And you read in scripture that blood and water flowed. Blood and water. Sometimes that's confusing, especially for any of us that don't study anything medical at all. Maybe if you're a doctor, you get it. We get, okay, I get the blood, why the water? But with all that he had gone through and the suffocating on the cross and all of that fluid would have built up around his heart. There's a medical term for it. I can't pronounce it. So I'm not even going to try. But fluid had built up around his heart while he's there on the cross. And when he was pierced and blood and water flowed, that was a sign that his heart had already ruptured. That his heart had already burst in his chest. So when we think about it, well, how did Jesus die? Jesus died for me. He died on the cross. How did he die? He didn't die from suffocation. He didn't die from blood loss. He didn't die from the pain or the suffering. Jesus literally died of a broken heart. Hanging there on the cross for you and for me, his heart broke inside his chest. His heart broke for us. Jesus fighting for you, fighting for me and saying, hey, I will take the weight of their sin on me. I'll take the punishment. He said, Father, let me take all of the sin. Let me be punished for it. I want them to be free. Blame me. Punish me. And the weight of our sin on him broke his heart. It broke his heart. I want us to remember that now we don't have any condemnation if you're in Jesus. There's no guilt, there's no shame, but it is something we should keep in mind now that if we're ever drawn back to sin, to remember that that sin still breaks his heart. It still breaks his heart when his children go back to sin because we've been set free from that. He's given us power over sin. Christians can't just freely go back to sin. Christians aren't free to sin. We're free from sin. We have power over it. We're not slaves any longer. Man, if you're just living in sin, yeah, I got my salvation, but I'm just going to do what I want. You're breaking Jesus' heart every single time. Over and over and over. Probably now you're thinking it's time to stop that. Our sins break his heart. Because of his love for us, his heart broke. Because of that, Jesus can offer us freedom in our heart. How many of you have ever had pain in your heart? Heartache, heartbreak. Maybe something happened in your life and it hurt. Maybe a family member that you lost, a grandparent, a parent, a sibling, something happened and you could physically feel the pain. You could ask Pastor Carrie, we've had many things happen in our life where we physically felt the pain. Man, it hurts. It's happened in the family, and it feels like a knife piercing our heart. I've felt that pain before. But what Jesus did for us by allowing his heart to break on the cross, it was to free us so that you don't have to live with a broken heart anymore. You don't have to go through life broken. You don't have to go through life hurting. You don't have to have this pain carried around inside of you. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted. and he binds up their wounds. Jesus is heart broke. Don't you walk through life with a broken heart? Let him heal you. He heals the brokenhearted. Man, something bad happened. Just trust him. Just trust him. John 14, 1, again it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is saying, hey, I don't want you to live with a broken heart. I suffered through that so you don't have to. Just believe in me. Just follow me. Just have faith. The fifth thing, I just have two more points. The fifth one is the torn curtain. Freedom to know God. Man, this one is exciting. This one is leading into the resurrection. Everything up to this point is what happened on Good Friday. Everything up to this point was the power of the cross leading to his death. But then the exciting part comes. He wins the victory. Here's what happens just before his death on the cross as he's hanging there. Matthew 27, 50, it says, when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And we've been singing about it all day, and you may have not even recognized it. The curtain in the temple was torn. At the moment when Jesus breathed his last breath, when his mission on the cross was finished, the power of the cross was that the curtain tore in the temple from top to bottom. That curtain was the divider between man and God. That curtain was what separated us. You couldn't know God. I couldn't know God. A priest could go behind the curtain. None of us could. We didn't have access to God. There was a barrier. Something stood between us. But when Jesus breathed his last breath, when he died on the cross, when he completed that part of the mission, God tore the curtain from top to bottom. Not from bottom to top. We could have done that. But we couldn't tear the curtain. So God tore it from top to bottom, giving us access, giving us freedom to know God. God was saying to you and to me, come closer. Come closer. God was saying, I want to know you more intimately. I want you to be near me. Jesus has removed everything that's kept us apart. That's why we can sing, nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. Man, when we sing that in the song, I don't know if it's our heart or if that's God's heart singing. Because God was singing the same thing to you. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. Don't stand back in shame. My son has taken that off of you. Come on near. Don't stand back feeling guilty. Come close to me. Don't let the worries and the troubles and the fears of this world hold you back. Come near. Let me put my arms around you. The curtain was torn so that we could have freedom to know God personally. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 explains it even better. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. A new way opened through the curtain. A new beginning. Man, how many of you are happy about a new beginning? Man, we get to that point in life where we're like, man, this just hasn't worked out the way I thought. I'm standing here. I've got all of this baggage. I've got all of this regret. I've got all of this shame. I've got all of this guilt. I don't have peace in my mind. My heart is troubled. I've got worries. I'm afraid. And here's Jesus that conquered all of that and said, hey, I'm giving you a new beginning. Forget about all of that. That's not you anymore. This is a brand new start. Hope has been restored. Which leads to the final point, the resurrected king. A new life. This is Resurrection Sunday. It's all about a king who came to die for his people and then came back to life. Resurrection. In Matthew 28, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You have resurrection power living inside of you. If you're a Christian, if you've received that salvation, there's more to it. You have resurrection power. You have power inside of you. I don't know about you. I love studying words, the definitions, the origins, even synonyms, and looking at what are different words that fit with this. The synonyms for resurrection, or the words that have the similar meaning, are restoration. You have restoration power inside of you. How many of you have areas of your life that need to be restored? There's this part of your life and you're like, man, I just wish this could be fixed again. I wish this could be restored. I wish it could be made like it once was. You have that power inside of you. Maybe a relationship. And Jesus has said, hey, that can be restored. I've given you restoration power. It can be fixed. It can be put back together. Revival power. How many of you sometimes, even as Christians, you get to a point in life just living day after day and you can just feel dead inside? No passion. Man, I believe in Jesus. I just don't feel anything anymore. I don't have any passion. Like you wish you could talk to one of the doctors in the church and get that electrical thing and warm it up and just... I need to be revived. I need some passion again. I want to live again. Jesus is saying that revival power, what revived me, lives inside of you. You can get your passion back. You can live again. Revitalization. Real living. Living life to the fullest. Having joy in life. Renewal. Man, how many of you would just like a new life? You have that power living in you if you belong to Jesus. Relaunch. I love that one. Jesus, I just want to relaunch. Do over. A restart. Let's just forget about all. Let's trash all of that and let's launch all over again. You can do that. Jesus won that for you. It's part of the spoils of the battle. It's part of what he took in. Hey, I went to battle for you. I fought. I won. Look at all this stuff we got. We can relaunch. But so often we're just like, I'll just take the salvation, Jesus. Man, take the relaunch. Rebirth, born again. Made as pure as the first moment you open your eyes. One of the scriptures I had here earlier, I skipped over it, but it was saying that our conscience can be purified. And a clean conscience. How many of you would just sleep better with a clean conscience? Purified. This power of a rebirth, that you can be born again, that you can be as innocent as the moment you first opened your eyes. Because once Jesus has forgiven you and forgotten your sins, that's how he sees you. You're innocent. I've never done anything. It's gone. It's forgotten. Rebirth. And I love the last one. It kind of threw me off at first when I was reading through these synonyms. All of them started with R. As a pastor, I love that. You ever notice how pastors like to have points? They all have the same letter. Sometimes we spend way too much time on that. I love that. But then I was looking at resurrection, restoration, revival, revitalization, renewal, relaunch, rebirth. Love that. The last one, comeback. It doesn't fit, but I love it. How many of you love movies with a dramatic comeback? Or books or stories where it looks like all hope is lost. Man, it's over. The hero has been defeated. Everything's hopeless. There's darkness covering the earth. It's over. But Jesus lived through that and he made a comeback. He had comeback power. He resurrected. And when he did that, he won that for us. We have the power to come back. What are you facing in your life right now? Hey, don't worry about it. You're going to come back from this. What is it that's got you down? This isn't going to be the end. You're going to come back. It's not over. You've got the power of the comeback inside of you. There's still so much more. And you may have been following Jesus for years and you're going to heaven, but man, everything's been miserable. It's okay. It's time for your comeback. It's time for your comeback. You have the power of the comeback living inside of you. Would you stand with me, please, so I can pray for you? hope today you understand two things. Number one, that Jesus loves you so much. He is always fighting for you, always has been fighting for you. And number two, that he is offering you so much more than just salvation. Man, salvation is amazing, but if as Christians all we receive is salvation, we're going to be worthless in this world because we need the power, we need the authority, we need the freedom, and we need the peace. Can we close our eyes all over this room? Just close your eyes for a moment. If you're here this evening and you would say, Pastor, I need the power of a comeback in my life, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? I need the power of a relaunch, a rebirth. I need a renewal. Maybe you just need some passion. PC, I need a revival in my life. I need a revitalization. Something's missing. Jesus, you see the hands raised all over this room. Lord, every single one of us people that are saying, Jesus, we believe that you have resurrection power. And we believe that it lives in us now because of your victory. So, Lord, we're asking you for that power in our life. Lord, all fear is gone. All worry is gone. Lord, we have a comeback. Nothing in this world can stop us. Nothing in this world can defeat us. There's nothing we have to fear. The only thing that can mess us up is if we stop right here. Because there's so much more. Lord, I pray for all of my friends right now lifting their hands to you. Lord, that they would see this power in their life. Lord, that from this moment on, I don't care if this is their first time to lift their hand to you or if they've been walking with you for years. I pray that from this point on, everything from behind this moment is gone. And from this point, everything is brand new. Everything is brand new. We're as innocent as the day we were first born because of your forgiveness. You've forgotten those sins. We have no shame. We have no guilt. We're powerful. We have authority. We've been set free, Lord God, in our bodies and in our minds and in our hands and in our hearts. We have the freedom to know God, and we have resurrection power living inside of us. Jesus, we thank you for these things. Lord, you are so worthy of our praise. Lord, we can't even sing loud enough to give you what you deserve. You fought for us. All the things that you went through, it wasn't something done to you. It was something you did for us. And you won the victory. And we thank you for it, Lord. I pray your blessings over all of my friends that are here this evening. Lord, I pray your blessings over their families, their parents, their grandparents, their children, their siblings. Lord, I pray that because of the light that will shine inside of them, that their families will come to know you. And Lord, as we scatter across the city of Maidon, the city that we love and that you've called us to, people will see the light inside of us and it will draw them to you so that we can share with them the message of the cross that is the power of our God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless us in your powerful and mighty name. Amen.